Happy New Year. Nothing like starting the New Year off with a difficult question that has gone through the history of the church. The question we're looking at, as we've already said, is the church behind war and injustice? I don't know what that question means to you or what you think when you think about that question. Maybe that's not a question you even have. Maybe you think that's not a problem for me. It certainly is a question that many people do have, and it's a question that maybe you've even engaged with people that have that question. And there's a number of different things that lie behind that question. A number of different directions and angles people might come from when they're thinking about this question of war and injustice and how it relates to the church. For me, it raises a couple of big questions that are connected to it. One of them is the question people ask, is religion behind all or most wars? Certainly historically we see a connection between religion and war, and some will go around and say religion is the core problem for war. Some will even say if we got rid of religion, we'd get rid of war. No religion, no war. That's the answer. The other question is, well, if the church is behind or connected or associated to any war or any injustice, doesn't that nullify the church? Doesn't that render it useless? Doesn't that totally go against its message? What good is this church that stands for and talks about a loving God that has a history connected in with wars and injustices and terrible atrocities? Because the truth is, that is something that lies in the church's history. And there's a number of different things people will point to say, these are horrible things that are in the church's history that the church has done. For example, connected in with wars. There's a number of places people go to. One of those places is the Crusades. In fact, this is often kind of the number one place people will jump on. In fact, for me, when I was at Bible college, I was doing a subject where we were looking at how to wrestle with difficult questions and explain the good news of Jesus to people. And we had an exercise where we had the dean of the college come in, and he would throw difficult questions at us, and we had to, in front of the class, try to battle those questions. It was my first year of college, and I drew the short straw first person up in front of the class to sit down with this person that is far more intelligent than I and has a whole lot more knowledge than I. And he threw out the question, how can you say you believe in this God when the church has done these horrible things? And I tried to get a dialogue going there, and I said, what horrible things are you talking about? And he said, the Crusades. And it wasn't something, for me, the Crusades hadn't gone much beyond Richard the Lionheart and Robin Hood. And I hadn't kind of thought about this, and I was in front of the class going, what are you talking about? What is this thing? And I don't actually remember what happens from there. We had an allocation of 5 minutes. From memory, I suspect I was just silent for 5 minutes. My brain was just going, that's it, it's over. I passed the subject, but I think that was just the mercy of the lecturer, really. It was one of those things I hadn't thought about. I don't know if it's something that you've thought about, but it's something that people cling to, this thing that happened, because there is a horrible history there. In the name of the church, the Pope sent soldiers to Jerusalem, to the Holy Land initially, to reclaim it for Christendom. And whether you want to argue whether that was an okay thing to do, that they were reclaiming it and that the Muslims that had moved in were violent and Jerusalem needed rescuing, whether you want to argue that or not, there's no doubt that linked up with the Crusades are horrible things that happened. Looting that happened. Now, one of the things that the Crusaders were known to do is kidnap women from their own country and take with them to feed them food and look after them while they were on Crusades. These are horrible things that were happening, and it was all in the name of the church. Maybe you look at something else in the world. Maybe you look at the situation in Northern Ireland, where the conflict that's labelled between Catholics and Protestants has tied itself up with politics and created a terrible history there. And so people look at these two groups that both claim Christian heritage, both claim connected to the church. And horrible things and great bitterness and battles going on there. Or you might think about religion generally and the Middle East and the hotbed of religion that's happening there. Or how that has spread across the world in forms of terrorism that we see today. And words like religious fundamentalism going around. Maybe those are things that you think about or someone thinks about when they're asking this question. It's no surprise then we get guys like John Lennon that would write a song that would say, imagine no religion. Suggesting that we get rid of that. And wouldn't the world be a much better place? Because there certainly is a history of terrible war in the history of the church. But not just in war, but in injustice generally. There's a whole lot of things that the church has been responsible for that have been horrible. Maybe you know of the Inquisition, a time of history where the church put together groups to judge people on their faith and set up sentences for them. Incredible injustice there. Dishing out capital punishment for people based on what they believe or don't believe. More than that, the reports of many of the cases just not being fair with the people at all, including torture. From there, we had an era of witch hunts, where people were burnt at the stake for suspecting that they were engaging in witchcraft. There were times where the church forced everyone in an area to be baptized Christian and then did investigations in their lives to see if that was genuine, and if it wasn't genuine, they would arrest them, torture them further to find out if it was genuine. And then if there was any suspicion that it wasn't, they would be burnt at the stake. These are in the history of our church. These are in the history of religion in the world. Even more recently, we look at injustice as we look at things like royal commissions that look into how institutions like the church have dealt with child abuse. And we see that it hasn't been dealt with well in many cases. Not only is it bad enough that there's been people in the church that have done horrible things, but the church itself at times have not responded appropriately to those things. In fact, as we look through these questions in this series, many of the questions kind of ask the question, is the Christian faith worth anything? Is it relevant or irrelevant? This question goes one step further and says, well, not only is it irrelevant, but actually, are we worse off having Christianity around? Is the church as an institution doing more damage than good? Is it toxic? Is it rotten? And so people will suddenly say, well, let's get rid of the church. That's the solution. In fact, before I go there, I want to say, the answer is yes, the church has been behind war and injustice. It's been behind many wars and many injustices, and that's a horrible thing. And church leaders have a lot to answer for throughout history, for things that they've done, been behind or allowed to have done. The church has a lot to answer for things that were done in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christianity. We have much to be sorry for in that. And I'm not surprised that if someone's not a follower of Jesus and haven't come to understand some of the great joys of sharing life with the people of God, that they would look at the church and say, what a horrible thing. I'm not surprised there's people that feel that way. Even me myself, as I think about it, as I think about this thing that I love, that's been brought together by this God that I love, and how people have dragged that through the mud, that name, how horrible things have been done. Yes, the church has been behind many wars and many injustices, but we don't want to stop there with that question. We want to push one step further, because part of the question is the church really the root cause of this problem? Is that really where we will solve this problem? If we want to solve the problem of war and injustice, will getting rid of the church solve that? We want to look at what the problem really is. And there's some people that have been recently tried to look at the big picture and say, we want to figure out what the real story is. In fact, some people have written books that do that. People like Christopher Hitchens, who wrote, God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Anything. Or Sam Harris, who wrote Religion, Terror, and the Future of Reason. The famous atheist Richard Dawkins writes, Reed Harrison, Wake Up. These guys want to say, let's look at the whole picture. Let's uncover these truths that the church has been trying to hide. It's rotten, it's poison, and it needs to be gotten rid of. Is that the truth? If we got rid of the church, would we see a new dawn, a new age where injustice is gone? If we got rid of religions, would people no longer have reasons to fight? One of the schools I grew up in, it was a small mission school, and I remember this time as they were setting up some facilities. I remember this time where they went through a phase where when someone hurt themselves on the playground, a piece of playground equipment was removed. And so someone would, well, one of the swings broke, so suddenly the swing set is gone. I remember joking around with a friend that soon we will have nothing to play with and we'll just sit on the ground all day during lunchtime. And then, you know, someone would fall off the seesaw. You know, it was the thing to do on the seesaw, right? Mostly with siblings. You get them as high as you can get them, and then you just hop off, right? That was the thing to do. Someone would get hurt, and so next thing we knew, it was gone. And I remember it coming to a point where one of the girls in the school was running along and tripped over the root of a tree, and her mother came to the school and said, we need to get rid of this tree. And there was a small school, and so families gathered to kind of talk about the future of the playground and stuff like that. And I remember a fairly witty father saying, if you gave kids a completely flat, open oval, they would trip over their own foot. And then what are you going to get rid of? Like, it's actually that there's a bigger picture going on here than in how to deal with some of these things. If we got rid of the church, do we get rid of the problem? Is that the solution? I want to say, I don't think that is a radical voice. I don't think that's a prophetic voice. Let me tell you what a prophetic voice, what a radical voice sounds like. It's the voice we heard as we read the Bible this morning. It's the voice of Jesus, who was a prophet, but so much more. And he says, the heart of the problem is every heart on the planet. We read there in verse 21 and 22, he says, for it's from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, we're talking about violence and war, adultery, greed, malice, the sort of things that we see drive injustice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. Jesus says, stop pointing the finger at everyone else and saying you're doing the wrong thing and you're the cause of the problem, and realize the problem is within. Let's look at the whole picture. Let's uncover the whole truth. The problem, the heart of the problem, is people's hearts. I mean, you heard the reading. Jesus slams the religious leaders. Jesus knows what it is to see religion corrupt. But he says, we don't stop there. The problem is so much more. The problem is people's hearts. It's true about all people. It's true about the human heart. Is the church behind war and injustice? Yes, it has been. Because people are behind war and injustice. If we want to get rid of war and injustice, then hearts need to change. Every heart on the planet needs to change. 7 billion hearts need to stop being selfish. Stop looking out for themselves, full of greed and pride, hatred and deceit. Because it's clear this problem is not just a problem for the church. It's not just a problem of one institution. The Bible says wherever people gather, there we see war and injustice. We see it throughout history. And we don't have to look far in our world around us to find injustice outside of the church. It's clear as we look at our world around us, this is not just a problem that is at the church point level alone. We can easily and look at the news and hear stories about politicians who have used selfish ambition at the expense of others, who have made decisions or pursued things that are unjust for others. We look at businesses. I mean, we think of some kind of key moments where businesses have, like Nike sweat factories, where businesses were involved in injustice. But even more recently, the reason we talk about fair trade and we have fair trade products is because there's unfair trade going on in our world. Businesses are doing the wrong thing by people across the planet. We see it in our workplaces, we see it in our schools, injustice, bullying. One of the big injustices we see in the world at the moment, we see in human trafficking. Slavery has been made illegal across the planet, but slavery is still happening across the planet. People are still being treated as slaves in workplaces and things like that across the planet. It's hard to estimate how big this problem is, but they estimate it somewhere between 10 and 30 million people are being treated as slaves today. Majority of them are between 18 and 24. One in five are children. A significant number is in the sex industry. And so when people watch pornography, they fuel this monster. Injustice is happening in our world right now. Why are these stories not being told? These people that want to grab one thing, one institution, and say, here's the problem, this is the problem, get rid of it. Why are these other stories not being told? The problem is far bigger. We see it everywhere. We see injustice, we see it in war. You don't have to look far to find wars that are not religiously motivated. We don't have to work hard to do it, to think about a world that has no religion. The experiment of no religion has been served up to us by a number of different places in the world. Pol Pot in Cambodia, who served up 2 million dead. Joseph Stalin in Russia, 20 million estimated dead. We don't have to imagine a world without religion. We have plenty of examples to look at what that looks like. The experiment of no religion was served up to us by Mao Zedong in communist China, up to 70 million dead. The experiment of Darwinian social philosophy is served up to us by Adolf Hitler, estimated 10 million dead. In fact, a historian, Dinesh D'Souza, looked at this and looked at some of the motivation that lies behind wars and atrocities that have happened. And he says, yes, there's been some terrible things that have happened in the church history. Calculated probably 200,000 unnecessary, unjust deaths that have happened in the church history. But he says when you look at the bigger picture, when you look at what's happening across the world, just Mao Zedong, Stalin and Hitler combined, we see around 100 million deaths. And his conclusion is atheism, not religion, is the real force behind the mass murders of history. Injustice is everywhere. I want to bring the whole story to light. Now, I'm not saying just because these other things are happening, it's okay that the church did terrible things. But I'm saying, if we want to really get to the problem, if we want to see what's really going on, we have to look at the big picture, and it's clear The problem is the human heart. Right, we see this. We see this every year around this time of year. We want to solve problems in our lives, so we grab things to kind of remove or solve, right? We make our New Year's resolutions. And we all know kind of how these things go, right? I heard a quote once that said, may our troubles last as long as our New Year's resolutions. We kind of pick something and we go, if we fix that, life is going to be that much better. And we know often, we don't really get to the heart of the problem. We tackle one thing and we miss the big picture. We don't see real change in our lives. Jesus says the change has to come from within. It has to be the heart. And so Jesus tells the whole story. And he does it with the cross. This great expose of injustice. Because in this moment, we see incredible injustice. Where we see religious institutions conspire against Jesus. But not just religious institutions, we see secular institutions. As those that are in power of the day not only allow this injustice to happen to Jesus, but it's their tools, it's their soldiers that carry it out. Religious institutions, secular institutions conspire against the one pure, innocent heart ever in history. There's an incredible injustice, killed by people like you and me. In fact, the Bible says, killed by you and me, because Jesus didn't just come to tell us we have a heart problem. He came to deal with the heart problem. In this incredible moment of injustice, there's also an incredible moment of compassion, of mercy, of love, where Jesus says, I'm going to let your heart disease kill me so it doesn't destroy you. I'm going to let your heart disease kill me so it doesn't destroy you, and I'm going to forgive you for it. But he doesn't just end there. He doesn't just say, I'm going to forgive you for it. But he says, if you choose to follow me, the Holy Spirit will fill you and transform your heart to be more like mine. Jesus says, I want to transform your heart. And we see throughout history, hearts transformed by Jesus. There's plenty of examples in history of hearts transformed by Jesus. There's real heart change going on there. And I want to encourage you, if that's not you, if you are not there following Jesus, I want to encourage you, look into Jesus. Explore more, wrestle with these questions, because that is where real change, lasting change, is. We see that change happen across the globe, and there's many things we live with today that we take for granted that has come through the incredible changed hearts of Jesus. We see incredible things that have happened in history that has changed because people's hearts changed. Things that the church has done that we see today. Things like the rights of children. The ancient world children didn't have rights in the ancient world. But people who followed Jesus saw outcast, discarded children and cared for them, built orphanages, rescued them. We see the church pursue great equality. We read in Galatians 3:22, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Now we know the church has been corrupted at times. Equality has not been pursued by the church. But that's not the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is to love all people. And in the early church, women and slaves were attracted to the message of the gospel because there they found worth, they found dignity. Many of our hospitals have come from the church. As the church talked about this God who cares for the sick, then that church went out and cared for the sick and set up institutions to care for the sick. And so we see that in our society today. We see throughout history people who, transformed by Christ, changed the world we live in. People like William Wilberforce, who had a great love for Jesus and fought against slavery. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood against Nazi regime. Martin Luther King, who stood for racial equality, said, "I have a dream." At times we see the church, because of the hearts of people, has been corrupted. But when transformed hearts are at work, we see incredible things. I don't want to defend the church and horrible things that have been done in the name of the church, but I do want to defend Jesus and the message of the cross. That is the heart of the church. And when hearts are transformed, great things happen. In many ways, I think for us, the question isn't really, is the church behind war and injustice? Because the answer is yes, it has been. And even today, injustice happens at the hands of people in the church. The church makes mistakes. The question is not even, has the church done great things in history? We can see, yes, that it has. The question really for us is, our heart in tune with Jesus? Is our heart breaking for those that are suffering injustice? Do we have great mercy and compassion for those who are broken, who are suffering? Because at the end of the day, we can look back at history and things that have happened. But right now, we are the church. And we are part of the history that is going forward. What is the message that we as a church are putting forward about the love of God? In fact, there's a danger for us, I think, in our society, in our culture where we are, that we can live such comfortable lives that we can actually be preoccupied with our comfortable lives. There's a danger that we can be so preoccupied in protecting our way of life that the hurting are far from our minds. We can be so preoccupied with making life easy, making sure we're paying off that mortgage so that we're set up and our kids are set up, making sure we get quality jobs that are gonna make life comfortable for ourselves, that we forget there's people in this world that no matter how hard they work, no matter what they do, their life will never be easy. Sometimes we can be so preoccupied with the religions around us and people who are moving into our area, maybe even concerned with Muslims moving into our area and mosques being built, that we forget around the world there's people that have no choice but to run for their lives in fear. Sometimes we can be stuck in traffic on a hot day with roadworks slowing it down and be so angry and frustrated with the situation. But we hear stories about asylum seekers that are being treated unjustly and inhumanely. Or we hear about human trafficking and people being treated like slaves. And we think, yeah, that's not good. And we move on. That isn't the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is one of compassion, of love, one of sacrifice. One of the big injustices, I think, of the church today is not that we hurt people that we have power over, but that we don't help those who we have power to help. So we want to make sure that that's something that we're doing. We want to have hearts of compassion and love. I want to encourage you, maybe this is something you would consider as a New Year's resolution, to find someone in your life that you can show love to that has no return to you. Maybe someone who doesn't even have a relationship with you. Someone that has no connection with you, but seek to love them. Commit to use the power you have in your life, the influence you have in your life, the free voice you have, the wealth to bring real change. Maybe that could be a New Year's resolution. Or maybe instead of committing to a New Year's resolution, just commit to it. Just ask God to change your heart. Make a decision and say, I want my heart to be changed and to be more like Jesus. And invite him to do that. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your incredible heart of compassion, of mercy. So much so that you were willing to give up your throne in heaven and become a human to suffer incredible injustice for our heart disease. Thank you for that forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that you will build in us that heart of love, compassion, and mercy, that we would see the broken in our world. We would see our opportunity to share your love with them, and we would do that. In your name, amen.